Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show is estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello once again, Mr. Grant.
How are you today?
Really good. Hey, this week, an interesting subject. For people who have maybe adult children who have special needs, or even younger kids who have special needs, you're
right.
Talking about what's called a special needs trust.
Yes.
And this is an interesting subject, and take it away.
Well, we just came off a series of how do we protect minor children.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a gap, which is that discussion, it was actually a month long, so all of June, and believe it or not, we're heading into July. How time flies. I can't find the break to life somehow. But there's a gap in back of some people's minds, which is, well, everything you talked about over the past month is great, but my child needs additional assistance. It's not just whether or not we want to manage money on someone's behalf, that we don't want them to spend it quickly or frivolously, but rather, I actually have somebody I care for that needs in-depth, long-term assistance and
right.
may need that for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we want to talk about here, probably this week's show and next week. So this week's show, we want to take a look at some of the nuances of what does it mean, what type of special needs trust there are, and begin the journey then into hopefully next week of talking about, well, fine, now we've learned something about special needs trust, but let's take a crack at what does it mean to practically take care of somebody over the long haul.
Well, let's so lay out some scenarios as to what kinds of needy kids we're talking about. Disabled, different issues, Down syndrome, some of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I'm really not sure how to politically correctly address the need or terminology that is appropriate, inappropriate within those spheres. And so I'm not trying to use any terminology today that would offend anybody that they have a child who needs additional care, special needs.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's in essence, it is the individual, regardless of age, that needs someone else to care for them full time.
Mm.
And really can even sneak into someone who just needs social assistance. So we have individuals who have been permanently disabled because of work environment issues, right? And they rely upon governmental assistance now because they've had a workplace injury and because income streams have stopped.
Mm.
So it could be somebody who was healthy at one point and has now become unhealthy, or it could be an individual who was born with a disability and will never have the opportunity to live a quote-unquote normal or healthy life.
And these folks are living a lot longer than they used to, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the whole discussion of medical technology continues to get better. New opportunities, whether it's medications, whether it's procedures. And so a individual with a disability can live a much longer and even oftentimes a very healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
But they may not be able to take care of themselves. And so this can range on any type of spectrum, right? And so there's individuals who are able to actually have a job, make minimal income, but yet not be able to really manage their own money, who will always need some additional support in the background because they have severe social anxieties or other issues going on versus maybe one of the things we think about if we talk about special needs, we think of somebody who may be completely bedbound, or we see the individual who is very clearly unable to help themselves. So the spectrum can be very wide on who needs a specific opportunity or money left to them to assist them for a long period of time. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk special needs. And let's qualify or clarify that term special needs. Really what the terminology in law is that it's called a supplemental trust. So one way or another, we need money that will supplement, or in other words, assist somebody when the social government system will not give them aid. And so when we talk about special needs or supplemental trusts, the premise is that an individual has the ability to lean upon some sort of social governmental assistance, whether that's state money, whether it's federal money. There are social benefit programs in each, the federal and the state. So when they utilize that, there are very, very specific rules that if that individual has either income or assets, that it will disqualify and stop those social benefits. And that is the key component. How do we pass wealth? How do we take care of somebody who is relying upon that system? And we want to make sure that they can continue to receive the social benefits because they're rightfully needing society to step in and care and help them. It's a very strong and needed social value. We don't want to disqualify that individual, but we also want to make sure that there is something reserved or next to them that when the government won't step in and help, that we have another bucket of money that can come to that person's aid and assistance or supplement their life so that the government won't say, oh, that's a disqualifying distribution.
Yeah,
that money disqualifies you.
I would think that, that money does disqualify a lot of people, or at least people think it does.
Yeah.
So why don't you describe that? Because of this, sometimes we've mentioned too off air before we started here, people will disinherit the child.
Oh, yeah.
Seemingly so for their own good, so that they have no assets and they can qualify for these benefits.
Yeah. Completely the wrong avenue to start taking.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the special needs community, even from other attorneys, that's one of the things that actually comes out a lot is, well, just simply disinherit. In other words, make sure that your estate plan won't leave your child who needs supplemental care. Because the government will not provide for everything, but just disinherit them. And oftentimes these families are faced with, we'll call them a healthy child. So again, no offense meaning in any of these terminologies, but just so that we understand the differences in what we're talking about is that we have a healthy child, and oftentimes the family structure is already built around the needs of the one who needs assistance. So the healthy children have already spent a lifetime having the whole family focus in on the other person. So their entire life has been focused on, I need to help my brother or sister. I need to help the family member who can't help themselves. So then as the last ditch effort, we're saying, oh, well, I'm just going to give everything to that person because they'll continue with supplementing or assisting the child who needs more assistance. But that is a trap that will actually cause unknown disqualifications. Because every time that a family member who thinks they're doing well or thinks that they're trying to help assists with the one who needs help, that is actually income to that person. So let's say I have a sibling who needs special assistance, who is unable to manage their own care. They are now utilizing the government for assistance, and they need braces. Well, government assistance won't pay for braces. So if we had a special needs trust, we could supplement out of that, pay the dentist to get braces for the needs, and it wouldn't disqualify government assistance. But if I took my own personal money and paid the bill, and it didn't come out of the special needs trust, the government can look at that and go, oh, you supported the person personally.
Really?
It didn't come out of the proper mechanism. And so we're actually going to count that as income.
Really?
Because you supported them in an improper way. And so the rules.
It's a catch-22.
It is a very big catch-22. Mm-hmm. But with good planning, it's not a catch-22.
Okay.
With good planning, we can create the proper type of buckets to ensure that the one who needs assistance is able to rightfully use the money for their care. Now, the one I misspoke to a minor degree there, so let me recorrect myself. The one who needs assistance can never control a special needs trust. Okay. They cannot have access to it. We always need someone else who is neutral, either a professional or a family member, to manage that money on their behalf. Okay. So it's a third person. It's someone other than the one who needs assistance who needs to run that bucket in order to properly make the decisions and distributions on behalf of the one who needs to be supplemented. So this is what I mean by the rules in dealing with retaining governmental assistance are very specific. And if you look at the Washington Administrative Code, it's an amazing bouncing ball. It says, well, as long as you apply, as long as you meet this definition, and then it sends you to a different statute, and this definition is not interfered with, and it sends you to a different, and so it's like the statute bounces from place to place to place to place. And so it's a very, very confusing area. It almost takes like a pie chart or some string chart or something to discover exactly where this all goes. The bottom line is that when we provide the appropriate mechanism, we can ensure the safety of the one who needs lifelong assistance. So we need to make sure that we have the proper planning in place, have a full discussion of what the needs are and how long we anticipate them to be, and then eventually how much we need to fund that bucket with to ensure the safety and the lifelong success of the special needs individual.
Okay.
So many convoluted and confusing areas of law is special needs trust, but it can all be worked out with a real strong conversation of what is out there, what do we need to do, and what is ultimately appropriate for the one that we need to set up this care for.
Okay. Well, interesting discussion this week looking at the special needs trust. And if you have someone in your family that you're going to be trying to take care of in this way, it's a very important discussion to have, whether it's listening to the show, first getting some ideas, but then maybe you want to contact Paul Grant. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. There's an opportunity to register for educational workshops. There's a way to communicate with us. Send us an email through that mechanism, and we'd be glad to reach back out and start engaging in a conversation about what your family needs.
Okay, back with more of the discussion on special needs trusts in just a moment on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to encourage you to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We provide educational seminars designed to give you a starting point for your estate planning needs. We discuss things like what documents are needed in every estate plan, how do I protect the next generation, what are estate tax issues, and how do I plan for minor or special needs children. Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and discover a host of information, sign up for an educational class, or ask a question. That's at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Mark Holland, host, co-hosting the Legacy and Faith Show this week once again with Paul Grant. Interesting discussion this week for those of us who have special needs people in our lives and we're trying to take care of them in a responsible way, talking about the special needs trust and some ways to, what are some of the first steps, Paul, in then setting up a special needs trust?
Well, as we kind of left out of the break, it really takes an individual conversation, and this is estate planning in general. It's not just special needs trust. This is estate planning that unless we have the ability to sit down, get to know you, get to know your personal situation, then it's really, really hard for me to say, oh, just go out and get that document. A document is not a magic thing, it doesn't automatically grow legs, hands, legs, feet, and everything else to jump up and start dancing when the event occurs. Documents are in place only to give us clear direction of what the intent is in any estate plan. So we need to have a conversation. We need to understand what are the dynamics of the family and relating it specifically towards special needs. Like I said earlier, oftentimes the whole family has created an environment around the care of one individual. I'm not saying that's wrong. We all have different family dynamics for different purposes. But we need to understand that and whether or not that's sustainable and whether, and if it is sustainable, whether that really meets the objectives and whether there's proper contingencies to make sure that the care of the special needs child for the rest of their life will be met. So what if we were relying upon a sibling to really care and watch over one of our children who needs long-term assistance? Well, what happens if that child becomes ill? What happens if the healthy child dies before the one
gets
who needs
married and moves away?
Right. Mm-hmm. And because life is life.
Yeah.
And there's things that happen. And so we need to find and make sure that we have proper contingencies and have had a full conversation about how do we truly care for the long-term needs of someone who's going to need this type of long-term supplemental trust.
Okay.
So we got to move past assumptions, past the family plan, even though we can start there, but we got to move past it to really have good, detailed, strategic contingencies to ensure their safety.
Okay.
And so, but there's many different types of special needs trust as well. And so in finding out what is truly the best for the family or truly the best for the one who needs long-term care, then we need to have a conversation about the different types of special needs trust that are out there in the marketplace.
Okay. So what are some of those different trusts?
Well, the first one I'm going to start with, because it has the most rules associated with it, and if we can establish this one, then the other ones will fall into place a little more intuitively.
Okay.
So the first type is actually called a first-party special needs trust. Now, this type of a trust is designed that the one who needs care is going to use their own money to start a special needs trust. So one of the more common scenarios of where this comes into play, two common scenarios. Number one, someone didn't do estate planning, and now their will says divide everything equally, or they never did any estate planning at all, and by Washington law, a special needs child would be an inheritor. Mm. So one reason or another, we have someone who needs supplemental care, and they received an inheritance one way or another. So now, all of a sudden, if they held on to that money because they have assets, they will be disqualified from their social benefits.
Right.
And for many individuals who do need supplemental care, who have a special need, routine is paramount in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And being taken off of their routine, out of their social work care environment, out of the routine of what to expect is a huge deal. So that would be one type of individual that would need a first party special needs trust because they own the money legally because they've received an inheritance, planning wasn't properly done, and now we need to move it as quickly as possible away from them so that they can retain their social benefits.
Okay.
And then the other type of common individual that needs a first party special needs trust is someone who may have been permanently hurt in some sort of an accident. That could be a workplace accident. It can be a car accident. It can be multiple. It could just be whatever, a slip and
a
fall.
How about a sickness or a stroke or something like
that? Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Anything that would render a permanent disability, that individual they may already have assets, or they may be receiving a court award, specifically if it's from a car accident or, mm-hmm. or some workplace injury or something else. They may mm-hmm. be getting a lump sum of money, but that lump sum would then become problematic in them retaining that for their supplemental needs, but yet utilizing government assistance mm-hmm. to maintain the stability of their life. Mm-hmm. Now, first party trusts have some very stringent guidelines, which is why I wanted to start with them. Mm-hmm. So first of all, it can only be used for the person that the trust was created for. So if I was in a car accident and I have assets that because of a lawsuit, I start a first party special needs trust, I am the only one who can benefit from that money. Okay, but if I give the money into that trust, I can now go back and seek for my social benefits. In addition, this is only applicable to someone who is 64 years old or younger. So if you reach the age of 65, a first party special needs trust is no longer available for you to fund. Mm. So there is an age gap in there. And by the way, if you're over 65, now you are subject to the 5-year look back rule and Medicaid discussions. We had that a while back. It's up on our website at legacyandfaith.com. You can go back to previous podcasts there.
Quite a series on that subject.
And so all of that information is in our podcast section. Another rule is that the trust must become irrevocable. In other words, we can't keep going back and changing our mind. You can't give your money into there and then go, oh, I was kidding. I'm just going to take it all back. It doesn't work. So it must be established, and it's a permanent trust that will supplement you for the rest of your life. And I already mentioned this as well, which is the beneficiary, the one who starts it, can never be in control of that money. We always need someone else, whether it's a professional trustee, whether it's a law firm, a CPA, someone who knows how to be a trustee, and we can also set up family members to take care of that.
Okay.
And so those are some of the rules that we need in order to create a first party. In other words, it came from the person who owns the funds. We're turning them over, and now we're creating a special needs trust for ourselves. And the last part of that is that the state must be the first beneficiary of that trust. And if we pause for a moment, it makes sense, which is that we have money, and for the benefit of the state assisting us, we're not going to have to use that money. Otherwise, we'd have to spend it all. And then apply for our assistance. Mm. So instead, we're going to give our money to this trust, and then we're going to lean upon society to assist us. Well, if I were to pass away in that scenario, and there's money left over in the bucket.
Yeah, I was wondering who gets that.
Yep. Then the state has the first right okay. to recoup
of course.
Whatever they spent. Now, it's only up to the amount that they have spent. So let's say I put $100,000 in it. I use $50,000 of state assistance. The state can only take up to $50,000 because that's how much they spent on my care. Then I can leave the other 50 to someone else. So it's only recoupable up to the amount that the state utilized.
Yeah.
So there must be a payback provision within that first party trust. So those are some of the rules around a first party special needs trust. Now we have a third party special needs trust, and that's kind of the one that maybe most people intuitively think about, which is how do I create an estate plan and ensure the safety of someone that I care for and needs long-term permanent financial assistance, and they can't take care of their own lives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's called a third party. So typically that comes from anyone other than the one who needs assistance, okay? So I can leave money to anybody I want in a special needs trust. When it's properly designed, that money will sit there and again supplement and provide aid when the government will not. And we used one example of braces or vacations, taking care of pets, transportation needs. So there's a laundry list of things that can be utilized out of a special mm-hmm. needs trust and out of any of these special needs trusts. So they're actually a very flexible opportunity to use the money, but they're highly regulated as far as the rules must be very, very specific in order for that trust to qualify. Mm-hmm. So once it qualifies, then we can utilize that a little more freely. So mm-hmm. a third-party trust then is what happens when someone else passes away, and we want to make sure that we create a safe bucket of money to care for people long-term. So that is a third-party special needs trust. It comes from someone else other than the one who needs assistance. Mm-hmm. They're more flexible. We never want the one who needs the care in charge of that trust. We always need to have what's called a discretionary trust, solely discretionary, intended for the purpose of supplementing the one that we need care for. So they can't be in charge of the money. Mm-hmm. Family members can be, whoever else can be. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about one last thing here, and our show is winding up, which is called a pooled trust. And a pooled trust is where we take money and we pool it together with other individuals who need assistance, and it's ran by a nonprofit organization. Hmm. And so a pooled trust is then an opportunity to receive care from a group of individuals versus starting a standalone, this is only for one person. In both the third party or the special, let me start there. In the third party one, the repayback provision is not necessary.
Okay.
So if I don't use it all, we can leave it to other family members. We can be more liberal in getting it to family if the one who we created it for doesn't use it all.
Okay.
In a pooled scenario, it can either go back to the government or it can stay for the pool. So your money can actually assist multiple people who have the same special needs as the one that you are trying to support.
Hmm.
So those are some of the different types of trusts out there. Which one is proper depends on family scenarios, depends on specific needs of the beneficiary. And again, you can go over to our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's opportunities to get into workshops. There's opportunities to ask questions and communicate with us. We'd love the opportunity to sit down, meet you, discover exactly what it is you're trying to accomplish with your estate plan, whether you have a special needs person that you need to assist, or whether you just love your family and want to make sure you set up a wealth transfer strategy.
Okay, great discussion this week, the special needs trust or the supplemental needs trust. Again, for more details, go to legacyandfaith.com. Another great edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.